Chapter 7. Herman E. Calloway.
Grand Rapids, said the man. That's where I'm from.
The man pulled my arm and took me to his car.
You don't know how lucky you are that I saw you, bud, not buddy, said the man. This road can be very dangerous for a young boy like you. There's a town near here called Owosso. People from the town had a sign by the road here. I'm going to use cleaner language for you. It said, to our dark-skinned friends who are passing through, don't let the sun go down on you in Owosso.
We picked up my suitcase from the side of the road, and then he opened the door to his car. There was a big box on the front seat. On the box, in big red letters, it said, human blood. My heart started jumping around. Who needs human blood? I thought. Vampires.
Get in the car, said the man. I'll take you back to Grand Rapids tomorrow.
Then he made his big mistake. He dropped my arm. I got into his car, and he closed the door behind me. Quickly, I locked the door and climbed to the driver's side of the car. I pulled the door closed and locked it. The vampire tried to get in, but he couldn't. I put my hands on the steering wheel and pressed down with my foot, and the car started to move. The vampire was running fast to try to catch me. The car only went 30 steps before it stopped moving. The vampire ran to the window and knocked on it.
Open the window, bud.
I opened the window a little. I could hear him, but he couldn't reach in with his hands.
What's all this about? Asked the vampire.
I can read, you know, I said. You're carrying a box with human blood in it. I took out my jackknife and showed it to him. I can kill vampires. The man put his hands over his face, and when he pulled them away, he was laughing.
Bud, do you think that vampires can drive a car?
I didn't think that they could, but I wasn't sure.
Can I see your teeth, sir? I asked him.
The man opened his mouth wide, and I could see that his teeth were normal, not vampire teeth.
Bud, please, said the man. I need to take this blood to a hospital in Flint. They need it tonight. Be a good boy and open the door.
I unlocked the door for him, and he got into the car.
It's a good thing that you don't know how to drive, said the man.
He handed me the sandwich and then started the car.
Your mother will worry about you. Don't you feel bad about that?
He asked as he drove down the road. My mother is dead, sir, I said.
I'm sorry to hear that, bud, he said. So you live with your daddy?
Yes, sir, I said. I live with my daddy in Grand Rapids. His name is Herman E. Calloway.
What? The man shouted. I know your father. Now that I look at you, I think you do look a little bit like Herman.
I smiled. Yes, sir. A lot of people say that I look like my daddy.
Bud, he said, my name's Lefty Lewis. You can call me Mr. Lewis.
Yes, sir, Mr. Lewis, I said.
Are you tired?
Mr. Lewis asked me. I nodded.
Why don't you go to sleep? We can finish talking tomorrow.
When I woke up, I wasn't in Mr. Lewis's car anymore. I was in a bed, and someone was trying to wake me up. This is number 29 of my rules. Rules and Things, number 29. When you wake up and don't know where you are, pretend to be asleep. Don't open your eyes until you know what's happening. I kept my eyes closed and listened to the people talking. There was a woman's voice and a man's voice. I knew that the man was Mr. Lewis.
"This boy is really thin," said the woman. "Who is his father? Do you know him?"
"Everyone in Grand Rapids knows him," said Mr. Lewis.
"What father allows his son to get this thin?" asked the woman. "Where's his mother?"
"I knew Mrs. Calloway, but she died a long time ago. But Herman is a musician, and they're not like normal people. There could be more Mrs. Calloways, and I don't know about them."
I learned something new. My dad was married to someone before he married my mama. This is why it was a good idea to pretend to be asleep. But I couldn't pretend for a long time. The woman woke me up and told me to come downstairs for breakfast. She gave me some new clothes to wear. Her son was older now, and he didn't need them anymore. The woman was Mr. Lewis's daughter, Mrs. Sleet. At breakfast, I met Mrs. Sleet's children, Scott and Kim. When Mr. Lewis and Mrs. Sleet left the room, Scott and Kim asked me lots of questions.
"Did you run away from home? Was it because your daddy hit you? How did your mother die?"
Kim asked that question. After breakfast, I said goodbye to Mrs. Sleet, Scott, and Kim, and got back into the car with Mr. Lewis.
"Now," said Mr. Lewis, "I've sent a message to your daddy at the log cabin. He still owns that club, doesn't he?"
I had to lie again.
"Yes, sir."
"I wrote that I'll bring you home by 8 tonight. So until then, I need you to wait in the car while I do a few things."
I sat in the car while Mr. Lewis drove around Flint, dropping things off and picking things up. When he was finished, he drove me to Grand Rapids.
"Do you remember this place?" he asked me.
"Oh, no," I thought.
"Yes, sir,"
I said. Mr. Lewis believed me. We turned a corner, and my heart started jumping around again. Along the street, there was a building that looked like it was made of trees. It was the log cabin. I had to think fast. I didn't want Mr. Lewis and Herman E. Calloway to meet.
"Mr. Lewis," I said, "this is going to be very difficult for me. Can I go inside alone to explain everything to him?"
"I'll tell you what I'll do," said Mr. Lewis.
He pointed at my suitcase.
"I'll keep this, and I'll give you 5 minutes to talk to your daddy alone. If you're not back by then I'll come inside and give it to you."
"Yes, sir."
I got out of the car and walked to the front of the log cabin. I walked through the doors, but I stopped in the hall. After 5 minutes, I went back to Mr. Lewis and the car.
"Thank you, sir," I said. "I told my daddy everything. He's very busy now, but he'll send you a message later."
Mr. Lewis gave me my suitcase.
"Okay, go back inside and tell your daddy that I said hello."
When Mr. Lewis was gone, I went back inside the log cabin. It was dark, but I could see that there were six men sitting in a circle on a little stage. Five of the men were looking at the sixth man. This man was my father, I knew. But he was sitting with his back to me. He was talking, and he spoke just like me. He took his hat off and rubbed his hands over his head. My daddy had really short hair. That was something I wanted, too. My daddy was telling the others a story. I listened for a while, then heard the words that told me something important.
Sometimes it's important to know when enough is enough.
That was what I thought when I was fighting with Todd Amos. Only father and son could think the same thoughts like that. I was in the right place. I walked toward the stage.
Are you okay?
One man asked me. When I was listening to them talk, I heard that his name was Jimmy. I just kept walking. I stood in front of my father and looked at him. He was old. He smiled at me.
What are you doing here, little man?
He asked me.
Did Miss Thomas send you?
I don't know a Miss Thomas, sir, I said.
So what are you doing here?
I came from Flint to meet my daddy, I said. I pointed at Herman E. Calloway. You're my daddy. I know that it's you.